Have you wondered about living elsewhere in your retirement? Well, we have, almost daily. No, it's not a simple decision, especially when two people are involved.
Hi, this is
Gil
and Jean of Retire There, a podcast about retirement destinations. We live in Brooklyn, New York. Having grown up and worked in this area of the country, we're hoping to relocate when we're both retired. For us, it's the weather, the chaos, the noise, and the yearning to be near nature and not within 3 feet of human beings.
That's right. In February 2020, we embarked on our journey to find that special place. We spent a week in Winter Park, Florida, which is beautiful, but something said it wasn't for us. As we were planning for the next trip, the pandemic arrived. Jean then gave birth.
I gave birth?
To this podcast. With so many baby boomers retiring, many must be relocating. Why not connect with and learn from them?
Here's a little background about us.
I'm Asian, born in Brazil, and grew up in Flatbush, Brooklyn. I'm an engineer turned attorney turned podcaster. I recently retired from a university career practicing higher education law. I love the academic environment, but it was time to do something else. I no longer have to set an alarm, drive in BQE traffic, or work with people who don't always share the same principles. Ooh, did I just say that? You bet I did. I traded all that in to binge crime dramas into the wee hours, just a little bit, to develop the podcast, to volunteer, practice metalsmithing, tackle our possessions. No regrets so far. Jean?
I'm not Asian, and as Gil mentioned, I'm not retired. I'm just plain tired. Born and raised in Long Island, New York, a place I always wanted to leave. I'm a law librarian working in a court who loves his job, but we're retired by the time we select our ideal location. We will be speaking to folks from across the street to across the globe who have moved to their dream venues and more. So please stay tuned and remember, if you know anyone who has moved anywhere for retirement, let us know.
Thank you. Hi, all. Today, we'll be chatting with Tom and Kathy, who left the Northeast for the Intermountain West, not the Midwest, as some may think, specifically from outside Boston to Boise. Yes, it's not a Z sound, but a C and a long E. I had to Google that to be certain it was pronounced accurately. So Boise is the capital and most populous city of Idaho with about 236,000 residents. Its metropolitan area, also known as the Treasure Valley, includes five counties with a combined population of about 750,000, making it the most populous metro area in Idaho. It contains the state's three largest cities, Boise, Nampa, and Meridian. The downtown area's elevation is 2,704 feet above sea level. The city sits on the Boise River in southwestern Idaho, 41 miles east of the Oregon border and 110 miles north of the Nevada border. Both urban and wild, it is a lively, clean, artistic, vibrant, tree-lined city just steps from mountains, a river, and hundreds of trails. The Boise River Greenbelt is a series of tree-dotted trails and parks hugging the water's edge. In an Art Deco building, its downtown Boise Art Museum has contemporary works and an outdoor sculpture garden. The Grand Sandstone Idaho State Capitol Building is nearby. The old Idaho Penitentiary contains 19th-century prison cells and gallows, plus historic military weaponry.
Nice.
What you just heard was Gene's well-informed, researched background. And I'm not going to try to lengthen this, but I had to add the following. Since we recently revisited Alcatraz while we were on the West Coast, I had to share this with all of you. In the early years, women were housed with men in that state penitentiary. But after one female inmate told the warden she got pregnant, they figured they'd better get cracking on separate cell blocks. Women were separated from the men in 1906, and a new building was built for them in 1920. Women on the frontier were often as tough as the men. One infamous lady prisoner, Lydda Southard, I believe it's pronounced, became known as Lady Bluebeard because she was convicted of murdering several of her husbands to collect on life insurance policies. Another woman was incarcerated there when she drove her wagon by the house of her husband's mistress and tried to kill her.
Is that Alcatraz or Boise?
That's all in Boise.
Oh, okay.
Alcatraz, I don't believe, housed women.
I don't think.
I have one more interesting fact, and it's about Boise's energy use. Idaho's Capitol building was the first in the country heated by hot water. The water is tapped and pumped from a source 3,000 feet underground. It's a natural form of energy called geothermal that's been used in Boise for over a century. The water that is pumped into buildings is heated by the rocks and fluids found thousands of feet underground, as far down to the Earth's hot molten rock. Gene, would you like to share a little bio about our guest?
Sure. Kathy was born in Washington, D.C., worked in Boston as a nurse, and retired early during COVID. Her interests include hiking, skiing, tennis, pickleball, live music, and reading. Tom is a Boston native, and aside from college, lived there and worked as an attorney. Like his wife, he also retired early during COVID. His interests are running, hiking, skiing, fitness, live music, and podcasts.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey.
Running and podcasts. All right. The couple, both in their mid-late 50s, retired and moved from a Boston suburb to Boise. They traveled extensively from 2020 to 2023. They bought a house in Boise earlier this year, 2024. After several Airbnb visits and renting in the area from October 2023 until the purchase, they have two children on the East Coast and just got a new puppy. Hi, guys. Welcome to Retire There. We've heard that Californians have been flocking to Idaho for the last few years. Why did you move from the Boston area to Idaho and specifically Boise?
Well, as you mentioned, Gene, we spent all of our lives in the Boston area. Our kids had graduated, had moved on, started their careers. We had a big house that we didn't really need. And so we just figured it was time to have an adventure. We'd explored most of New England during our time there. It was time for us to try something else out. And we had, I think in 2014, taken a trip to Boise in the summer just because we'd heard about it. And
we had heard it was a pretty unique place, and neither of us had ever really spent any time in the Pacific Northwest. So we came out here years ago, and it was a different city back then, much smaller, but we really liked the feel of it then. And we came back two more times, two different seasons, really sort of had our hearts set on possibly retiring here. And then when we did retire, we didn't just move here. We spent, like you said, a few years sort of wandering the country, exploring the Southeast, exploring other areas that we thought we probably should just see and explore before we really maybe made the move and came out all the way. We're pretty far away from the East Coast. We wanted to make sure there wasn't a place maybe closer to where our kids were going to be that equally fascinated us. But, you know, Tennessee was high on the list and some North Carolina mountain state parts. And I don't know, there's just something about this area that we really like.
That's really interesting, as both of you are from big city areas, D.C., Boston. And when Gene told me you guys bought a place in Boise, I just thought, wow, and you mentioned Pacific Northwest. I'm thinking, you know, Oregon. So it's very interesting that both of you felt that way, huh?
Yeah. As Kathy mentioned, and Gene as well, we did travel very extensively before making the decision to actually buy a place here. From late 2020 until late 2023, I made a list of cities.
And we've been on the move.
About 30 different cities Midwest, the Southeast, the Southwest. I said the Midwest already, I think.
Yeah.
Some places in New England that we wanted to spend a little more time in that we wanted to explore. We did end up coming up with a list of kind of criteria for where we wanted to end up. We wanted to be in a small to medium-sized city with a college.
Or university.
Or university, close to the mountains, that has four seasons, none of which are terrible.
That's important.
A good airport.
And good healthcare.
And with the close to the mountains, hopefully, there'll be good skiing somewhere around as well.
Wow. That sounds exactly like our list, except for the skiing. Okay.
We spent actually last winter, in Salt Lake City. And, you know, we liked it there and the skiing was fantastic. I think it was just a little too big and didn't quite, for us at least, have the community feel that seems to permeate Boise.
Yeah, probably size contingent. Boise's just much smaller than Salt Lake City. I mean, you feel it immediately when you get here, but not too small. I didn't want sort of a small town like Asheville.
Yeah.
A lot of people that have our sort of really like Asheville, but that, you know, we visited, we stayed there, just felt a little too small for us. I wanted a bit more of a city feel because we're used to that from the Boston area.
Sure.
So you didn't consider other Idaho towns like Moscow, Sands Point, and Idaho Falls, which Gillen has been to, actually. Yeah.
Oh, really? We have actually not even gone to the northern part of the state yet. We're saving that for this summer, but we've driven through Idaho Falls. What were you doing in Idaho Falls?
So I was finishing college. I had an interview with Westinghouse Nuclear. So it was in January, remember. I flew out there. I remember having heels for the interview, and I stepped off the plane and it's snow. And apparently the interview went well. The manager and his wife invited me to dinner, and they were telling me how, you know, a symphony is coming here. You know, you're from New York. And I thought, oh, trying to sell me the symphony.
Little did they know, you're a poor kid, never been to the symphony.
But ultimately, I took a job with GE in Lynn, Massachusetts, and lived in Brookline. Yeah, so I was neighbors of Boston. But anyway, yeah, so it was very nice.
No, we haven't. We didn't consider other parts of Idaho. We were pretty focused on this area.
So you rented first. How long did you rent and how did you find the rental?
Through Zillow. The first rental we rented for 2 months in the neighborhood that we had sort of identified from our prior visits that we wanted to sort of try to focus our housing search on. And then we moved into a condo we found on Zillow. Also for 2 months,
yeah,
pretty much. And both places were furnished. The condo was more downtown in Boise, but, you know, as a crow flies, a mile away from the house we had rented. Not big here. So two places, 2 months each. And then we had a nice realtor friend that we had met that got us looking the minute we got our feet on the ground here last fall. And we spent 4 months looking pretty extensively.
For rent, what are rent prices there?
The rentals were fully furnished because we left all of our stuff back in Massachusetts. So that added a little bit of cost. And we also, the rentals were kind of on the higher end, furnishing wise and location wise. So they were between $3,500 and $4,400 for two bedrooms.
A month. Yeah. So not inexpensive.
Yeah, that is high. Utility.
We did have some nice, we were in a furnished place.
Well, it's furnished too, I forget. Yeah. So that makes a difference, right?
I probably had $500.
Yeah.
Right in town. So, I mean, we could have gotten something much less expensive out of the city. We wanted to really experience while we were still renting the city itself and be able to walk around and make sure this is where we wanted to be.
Right.
So we know the prices have gone up a lot, but what do you think you can get a two-bedroom rental for on the low end?
Oh, I still think it's probably unfurnished, maybe $1,400.
It really depends on what part of the
Yeah.
Certainly downtown, north end, east end, those are going to be more expensive.
Right.
Okay. So 4 months later, you identify a home.
Mm-hmm.
How was the home search? Since there's so many people moving in, and what was that like?
It was tough. There wasn't, and there hasn't been a lot of inventory.
Right. People we have found in Boise don't, especially in the neighborhood we wanted to be in, they're not moving very regularly. These are families that grew up here that are living maybe three blocks away from their parents or in-laws and raising their own kids in the same neighborhood. So these houses really, it's not a very transient neighborhood. There were times during our search that there were two houses on the market in the entire neighborhood.
Wow.
And this was during the winter.
And this, the neighborhood is the north end, which is where we are buying.
Yeah.
Because the inventory was so low, we did end up looking at a lot of houses in other parts of Boise, out in an area called Harris Ranch, which is east of Boise, maybe a little south. There's a lot of new construction townhouses.
Very popular for empty nesters and newer construction. It's a nice walkability kind of area. But we felt the culture in this part that we had identified was just much richer for us. So we were going to dig our heels in and wait. Came on the market that we liked.
Did you limit your search in any way that may have minimized the result? For instance, we're looking for a ranch. And if possible, no stairs, because one of my knees is starting to act out.
We weren't looking for a very big house, and we weren't looking for a very small house, kind of a Goldilocks house we were looking for, and around 2,000 square feet.
And we wanted a master bedroom on the first floor. We didn't want a
master bedroom on the first floor, two or three bedrooms, things that we ended up compromising on in the place that we bought. We would have liked to have a view of the foothills. We had a nice one from the condo in
downtown
that we're in. We would have liked to have had kind of more landscaping done outside or less area that we need to upkeep. We're going to have to do some work there. And I guess a fireplace would have been nice. And
yeah, we definitely made some concessions.
Hot tub.
You can't, yeah. I did okay. The perfect house, no.
So what did you wind up with?
It's a single family, 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath, single floor, but finished basement. It's
about 2,000 square feet.
Yeah, a little over 2,000 square feet.
And nicely renovated.
Yeah, recently renovated. And that's one of the things that you find out here is that the pricing of, obviously, the newer construction and the more recently renovated properties are going to be more expensive. And there's a lot of older properties. So typically, if the price looks good, it means that it's going to need some work.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I can imagine. So what did you wind up paying, if you could share
that? Or if you don't want to, just tell us the range.
We're fine. It was a little under $1 million, a little bit over their asking price. And we thought it was a pretty fair price based on everything that we've seen. Yeah, I think this house outside of the city, maybe, you know, if you're 10, 15 minute drive out of the city, depending on the neighborhood, it probably would have been $2,000-$3,000 less.
$100,000.
Okay. I was like, that makes
sense. Maybe in the mid sevens or something.
Okay.
And what do you think you can get a fixer upper for?
Well, I actually, a fixer upper just showed up
in the neighborhood.
It was smaller though, only 850 square feet.
Pretty less. That's
a 2-bedroom, 1 bath. And that's $350,000.
Wow. Small little, yeah. 150 square feet.
$350,000.
And then I think I found an older house in Garden City, which is
basically
just west of here. 2-bedroom, 2-bath, a little under 1,200 square feet for $320,000.
Oh. Okay.
So it really, you know, there's a wide range.
Yeah. Are you walking distance to the town, you know, coffee, et cetera?
Yeah. So
we're 10 minutes from the State House.
Oh,
wow.
We're right downtown. We're in the neighborhood that really abuts the business downtown district, which is called the North End of Boise.
In addition to downtown, which we're about, you know, 10, 15 minute walk, we're only 3 or 4 blocks from a village called Hyde Park, which also has restaurants and
brewery,
cafes and the
shops.
Brew pub.
Oh, nice.
Bars, shops.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great walkability here.
Okay.
And the foothills are just 2 blocks beyond Hyde Park. So the trail system is right at our doorstep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
So do you need a car? But did you get one?
We've maintained one car through our retirement that we drove around the country in. And we're fine with that here. It's a big biking community. So I plan on buying a bike this spring. It's quite flat around here because it's a river. You know, you're in a valley.
Yeah.
So it is a big biking community.
It depends on where you live around Boise. I think most places you're probably going to want to have a car to get around. There is some public transportation. It's just getting better and better.
This area particularly, you could really exist. We're probably a 12-minute walk to the local hospital and all the outpatient clinics. And we're pretty centrally located, having been in the Boston area and done a lot of my life without a car walking around Boston. Yeah. I'm used to it. I think you could be in the city without a car pretty easily.
There's an Albertson supermarket, like an 8-minute walk from here.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
But if I lived there, I'd want a car because to drive to the mountains and
all
the wonderful places outside.
The day trips that you can take from here are spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the traffic like?
Well, you had mentioned Nampa and Meridian as the towns that sort of make up the greater Boise area. And that's where the traffic is. People leaving the city and going back out to Meridian and Nampa work. And then on the reverse, coming into Boise, there's a lot of traffic.
Well, cutting across the city also during rush hour.
It's just rush hour.
There's a lot of construction going on in the city. So there's roads that are closed and there's one-way streets and it can get a little tricky.
Again, I'd like a car because it's close to 6 national parks, including Yellowstone. How far is Yellowstone?
We were just in it last,
last
month, probably 6 hours. You can start quite close. We had skied at Big Sky in Montana.
Nice.
And we went one way there on our drive and we came back through Yellowstone and then sort of drove through it. It was winter time, so we didn't stay or do much there. But yeah, we're a 1-day drive to the Oregon coast. A 1-day drive up to Coeur d'Alene and the northern part of the state.
We went back to Salt Lake City for a long weekend. And
that's a one-day drive.
That's like 5 hours.
5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
We drove to Lake Tahoe to ski this past winter. And that was equally it's a day drive, 8 hours, right?
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now for the elephant in the room question. We've read that so many Idaho residents resent out-of-staters moving in. And we've also heard that you have to be careful if you have California plates because they might do something to your car. Is that true?
I'll let Tom answer that.
So we haven't really seen much in the way of animosity towards people moving from out of state. I rode a chairlift at the local ski mountain with somebody from, I think, he'd grown up in Boise, and I think he's living in Idaho, around Idaho City now. And he pretended to be offended, but then was like, no. I'm glad that more people are learning about this area and are getting to enjoy it. On the other hand, I can't say I've seen a lot of cars with California plates. So maybe
if I change them
changing pretty quickly. we have noticed that there's not a lot of bureaucracy here. There's not a lot of layers of government. So
really?
To do something like change the plates is very, very simple. When we had to get our driver's licenses, we were back in Massachusetts this summer, and I had to renew my driver's license there, and I had to schedule an appointment like 4 weeks in advance and specific time slot. When we scheduled the appointments for our driver's license, we could have gone in the same day.
Wow.
We showed up a half hour early and they took us straight away.
Yeah.
It was
nice.
And when we've got to the city hall for a few things, and the person at the front desk is very helpful, wanted to know exactly what we wanted and directed us to the right floor. We get there and the person would, instead of putting us in front of a database and making us search, they would search it. And
wow.
We're looking for print out copies and just the sort of thing that we did not experience back in the East.
Yeah.
That was the other things about here. We noticed, and it's changed a little bit, but we noticed the first time we were out here was that you never have to worry about spending time looking for a parking spot. You don't
that
have to worry
question.
About making reservations at restaurants. It's just not crowded. Back East, we had to, we were always battling for resources.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to go to a movie because it would sell out and we hadn't bought it.
Yeah. Say no more. Right.
That did not happen here.
So it sounds like Boise has the amenities of a city. It sounds like it also has a small town feel. Do you have that?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say that's a good way of describing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are the noticeable differences to you or anything you miss between the two areas?
We haven't experienced summer here yet, so we do know that the temperatures will be higher than we're used to, but it's also much drier. So I don't know if I'm going to not like summer here.
Yeah, there's a 32-degree difference, the average high and the average low in the summers. Even if it gets a 100 as a high, which is usually at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it'll get down to 68 overnight. Mm-hmm. And there's no humidity. There's no mugginess like these.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there's a local ski area. How far is that?
Yeah, so Bogus Basin, it's a 16-mile kind of hairy ride. 16 miles from the city, though. It's up a road called Bogus Basin Road that's got switchbacks and
drop-offs
and everything.
No,
oh, my goodness.
But it's a serious ski area.
Very well used.
To see how it was ranked amongst the ski areas in North America, and I found something online. It was kind of ranked in the middle, and it was ranked, I think, just below Sugar Bush and just above Killington.
Wow.
It's a good-sized mountain. And,
yeah. So,
and day tickets are, I think this year, were $85. Down Salt Lake, the resorts there, the tickets are over $200.
Yeah.
And it's a nonprofit too.
Right. So the school kids use it a lot. Families.
They have night skiing.
Spend their weekends up there. I rode a chairlift, I think you were with me, with a guy that had flown from Wisconsin to ski at Bogus Basin for the week.
Wow. And that's so great that it's so close. Yeah.
In terms of the living lifestyle, do you feel that you've had to kind of take a step back? Like, do you feel that, in the Northeast, you're always rushing and you're less patient? Do you feel that you're now kind of more laid back, or you've had to?
100% for me.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. My back East friends keep asking me if I'm bored or what are you doing? What are you accomplishing? I'm really not accomplishing a lot other than trying to enrich my personal day, or, I'm taking a 5-mile walk in the foothills by myself.
Wow. Nice.
That's what I need. And that just makes me feel good. And I'm really enjoying the outdoors here.
Nice.
You had to sort of squeeze it in the Northeast and fight everybody else to get out there to enjoy it. And here it's just so accessible. And
And Gil, you had mentioned the Boise River, and it really does run right through the city.
Wow.
And it's quite a resource. You can fly fish there. There are people fly fishing there in the summer. You can ride rafts down it from one end of the city to the other.
Wow.
They have a water park, a water feature there that people can kayak and swim and surf on. It's surrounded by paths called the Green Belt. And yes. 25 miles long, the Green Belt is.
Continuous. So you could bike all day long.
Wow.
And then back the other side, and there's bridges crossing the river every few miles. So
that's so nice.
Amazing resource.
Yeah.
What? You can always run a marathon one way. Wow.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's amazing.
I think they had one a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I can't believe you can fly fish in the city.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, wow. I can walk out of the public library, take 200 steps because it's right next. It's by the art museum.
Wow.
And the river right there. And you can look out and you can see a bald eagle above you and people fishing below you.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I can't believe that.
And you're in downtown Boise.
And they stock the river with fish too.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get why it's so popular. Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing.
I want to go back to what are property taxes like?
So they have us, at least in Boise proper, I'm not sure about the rest of Idaho, but they have a homestead exemption for taxes. So you pay, and that's for resident, for people who are residing in the house. What that does is it reduces your property value from a tax standpoint by $150,000. That helps a lot. So depending on the value of the house, the assessed value of the house, the annual taxes might be anywhere from 0.5% of the value of the house to upwards to 2% for the higher value houses.
Okay.
Oh, that's not bad.
So for a $1 million house, that it would probably be about $10,000.
Okay. That's reasonable.
Yeah. What about other taxes? Taxes on seniors.
We actually haven't been through a tax season here yet. So, but my understanding is it's pretty much of a, I think it's 5.8 or 6% flat tax. And then the sales tax of 6%. I think from a tax standpoint, at least income tax and sales tax, it's probably comparable actually to Massachusetts.
Oh.
I think property tax is going to be quite a bit less.
Quite a bit less, yeah.
So retirement income, you know, pensions, 401ks and things like that, it's about the 5% you said?
I think 6%.
Let's go to the cost of living. Have you seen any noticeable difference?
I think in general, it's a bit lower than on the East Coast. There's several different supermarkets here, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Albertsons.
Ooh, yay.
Winco, Fred Meyer. There's good competition there, which...
Yeah.
Helps keep the prices down. The restaurants seem a lot less expensive.
Right.
And even a lot less expensive than those in Salt Lake were, and still pretty good quality. Internet here, I think we pay $35 a month.
What?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
35?
Yeah, I think it's there's a bit of an 18-month special or something like that.
Oh,
but
okay.
Really, it's $35 a month. And then I think it probably goes up another $20 once the special.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Things that you would do for entertainment are just a bit less too. I've noticed, you know, if we're buying tickets to the theater or tickets to see a show or something, they're clearly not New York prices, but they definitely are less expensive than the Boston area.
Okay. Good to know.
And I think the gas is currently about $3.80 a gallon.
That's
like
here.
It's a little more than here, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's been fluctuating in the past. Since we've been here, it's gotten as low as like $2.90 and as high as over $400.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $4, sorry.
Yeah.
We just got a quote to get a tree taken down, a pretty large tree that's diseased. And the quote they gave us was less than what I anticipated. So, you know, but I'm coming from the East Coast, so I understand. I was used to...
It was probably 30-40% less than it would have cost.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's sizable.
Yeah.
And I was expecting, because we are living in this neighborhood that is sort of earmarked as sort of the nice... One of the nicest neighborhoods.
Well, that's area. Important.
I was expecting everything we purchased or services for the house would come with a little bit of an extra... But we've been pretty happy with the cost of living, I would say.
Let's move on to healthcare. We know what the healthcare is like in the Northeast. How about where you are?
Well, coming from a health background, I wasn't that worried about wherever we were going to go because I knew I could sort of navigate our way through it.
Right.
We were warned that, as you've probably heard in the news, that a lot of medical professionals, mostly physicians, have moved out of or trying to move out of Boise or the greater Idaho area due to some of the politics of healthcare.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was going to put us in jeopardy. Just to be quite honest, we both had to make primary care doctor appointments once we got our insurance figured out here, and we were pretty dissatisfied. We've each had to wait 4 or 5 months to see a primary care physician.
Wow.
Wow.
But I saw a specialist because we have PPO. I was able to see a specialist within days.
Oh, yeah. Good.
We were quite picky with our primary care choices. So if I had probably just taken whoever they were trying to give me, it might have been sooner, but we were sort of choosy.
The two big hospitals here are St. Luke's and St. Alphonsus. And they have their own kind of ecosystems. And we're a little closer to the St. Luke's. So that's what we're tapped into. And we have our insurance through Pacific Source, which is a health insurance company out here. It's also a nonprofit, and they seem to be pretty good.
Yeah. And you've seen a specialist since we've been here, and that went well. So I'm not anticipating it's going to be a problem. I'm used to being able to sort of navigate through a system, and I couldn't, I made a call in January, early February to get a primary care doctor appointment, could not get past the here's your appointment in July.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's even becoming like that here for if you're
that's
picky.
What my friends are telling me from back. So it is what it is. Yeah.
I've been looking for close to a year now. I found someone, I found two in the interim, but I'm not really pleased. And I love my primary, but she changed practice groups and I can't even get a hold of her. I mean, she's so backed up and she's further away than I'd wanted. So I'm still looking, and that's a concern. Jean just got over recently lymphoma. He's in remission.
Oh, wow.
So of course he had MSK. There was no issues there.
Yeah, but my internist is great, but Gil can't go to him because he won't take her insurance. Different insurance than I do.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you relocate, you just have to be sort of in the mindset that it's a work in progress until you sort of get settled and get yourself into a system. And I think in general, this is an area in the entire country that's having trouble.
It's a lot easier to get appointments with physician assistants or
nurse practitioners.
And some of them even do some gatekeeping for the doctors.
Yeah.
No, and we've had some good nurse practitioners seeing us. And so long as you become familiar and establish a little relationship,
right?
That's good. It's just one of my, I'll just say the one I am seeing now, she's just, I'm not mentioning any names here, but she's kind of lazy. Recently had a cold. And I said, I have to go to the bathroom more. And instead of asking about my symptoms, she was like, oh, I think that's kind of age related. I think you should see blah, blah. I'm like, what? And then a week later, I was fine. Like you said, you have to be picky. Kathy, any inside info on how to find a good primary care? I mean, I'm sure you guys did a little research before.
I usually look at their training, their age. I mean, to be honest, I'm turning 60 this year. And the person that spoke to me the most, who I made this appointment with, is a gerontologist. That seems for a young 60-year-old to see a gerontologist, but
it's a good idea.
Reading the bio, I said, I think I will get along with this person well.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
No, I feel the same way.
So I'm pretty savvy that way.
I think that's so smart. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've heard of, I'm sure, the Martha Stewart Center in New York, but they won't consider patients, I think, until they're 75.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I turned 62 recently and I thought, gosh, I have to get like another 13 or 15 years. So I love that idea of seeing a gerontologist.
Yeah.
Because they understand. That's what they study.
They almost turned Kathy away because when she made the appointment, she's only 59 and they require that their patients be at least 60. And
by
the time I'm going to be seen, I will be 60.
So. Oh, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm assuming there are urgent cares nearby in case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now that we're in the system, and even though we haven't met our primary care doctors, there's a phone tree. It sounds very well set up. If we got sick, we haven't had to access it yet, but we just call a number and a nurse practitioner sort of gets us seen by whoever we need to see.
As well as standalone urgent care.
Oh, then there's plenty of standalone urgent care centers.
Okay. Right. Okay. And I just have to make a point that many of us spend more time with specialists anyway at the end of the day. So if you're able to get in with them, I think that's great.
Yeah, I was concerned that our health insurance was an HMO, in which case everything needs to be ordered for you by right. the PCP. And if it takes 6 months to get the PCP, that was a problem. But then it turned out the policy we got is
the PPO. Good for you.
All right, I have a question. We read that the Mormon community once dominated Idaho. Is it much more diverse these days? Hopefully, right?
I think it is. I mean, we having spent last winter in Salt Lake City, we saw how relatively dominant it is there. There are certainly LDS churches scattered about up here.
But not as many as in Salt Lake.
Not as many. And I think it's probably less influence on the government as well. They they certainly have much more of a drinking culture up here with vineyards and wineries and
nice.
And lots of brew pubs and happy hours. And
yeah.
You didn't have that culture in Salt Lake.
Okay.
But I think it's just, it's here, but it's less. It doesn't really seem dominant at all.
Okay. So where's the nearest airport?
So Boise Airport is about 15 minute drive from where we live. It's a really nice airport. It's very modern. The first time we flew in to Boise back in 2014, we went to rent a car and we just walked out from the baggage claim and there was a parking lot there and the car was right there. I don't know if it's still that way since we haven't rented cars, but it's got direct flights to the big destinations on the West Coast. Salt Lake City, Denver, Chicago, Minneapolis,
Dallas,
Atlanta. But Atlanta, I think that's the only East Coast city that there's a direct flight from.
Okay.
So we can't fly direct back to Boston or New York.
And the big airlines are United, Southwest, and Alaska.
Okay. So your kids are back east, right?
Yeah.
How do they feel about you guys moving out over 2,000 miles?
I think since they've both visited, they're more on board.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. They've both been out here twice for one and once for the other. They grumbled that they had to change planes to get here. But I think once they spent some time with us here, they understood sort of how interesting it is and probably saw how happy we were. And
that's the most important.
Yeah. They're fine, I think. We're far away, but.
Yeah, there's always Zoom.
When we were looking for houses, we did have this mindset that whatever we buy, we have to be prepared that we might have to sell it in 5 years. If our kids get married and have kids, there's a good likelihood that we're going to want to move closer to them.
Yeah. Really?
Not grandkids.
I understand, but I'm saying you really thought about this?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you can't really quite settle down.
Well, I mean, we're attacking it as if we are, but when we were looking for a house, we didn't want a fixer-upper that we would spend 4 or 5 years getting perfect with that possibly upending us. We wanted to sort of move in and jump right into our new life.
That makes sense.
We're also a little careful not to really overpay. The market's down, I think, about 7% since its peak, and it may continue to go down. It may level off. It may go up. Who knows? But hopefully 5 years out, things will be settled.
Okay. That's a good point, and I'm glad you made that and shared that with us. So, Tom, you practice law, and I assume you retired. You didn't look into reciprocity or anything.
I did look into reciprocity a teeny bit, but it was time for me to retire. And Kathy looked into becoming a nurse out here.
Oh,
what a process for that.
Yeah, it would have been easier if I had been a little closer in months to when I stopped practicing fully. The minute you move away from a nursing profession in terms of daily practice, what they want you to do in Idaho is a bunch of refresher courses and be mentored again. And it just seemed, for somebody who had quote unquote retired, it seemed like a lot of effort for me to step back.
Yeah.
But we both plan on, we've only been in this house, 3 months now?
Something like that.
Yeah. And we just busied ourselves with a puppy, but I think I'm going to get out there and do some volunteer work.
Okay.
Be a little more busy than just walking the trails.
I mean, you said there are restaurants nearby. Right. Are they great?
I guess that would be the one area that I sort of missed from the East Coast. They're not horrible. And you hear this a lot. We've listened to your podcasts. When you move away from a New York or a Boston, the culture that restaurateurs can bring to that area is just something special. And we're not big foodies, but we do like a nice meal. And specifically, we've had a hard time finding great sushi here.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say they have a big cocktail scene here. Okay. People are always shocked hearing that because Boise, you might think of cowboy boots and cowboy hats. It's not that way at all. It's quite hip. They have speakeasies. Okay. There's quite a big cocktail scene. We're not really cocktail-y people, right. But
probably great seafood. Yes. Mm-hmm. Not sushi, but I mean, like, you know, there's so much fish.
There are a couple seafood restaurants that are good. I think it's, you know, it's
more steak.
It's closer to, it's to the Pacific.
I think the steak houses are sort of watered down for here.
Okay. Yeah. Not a surprise.
And,
okay.
But they are, I mean, obviously Idaho and the potatoes, they're proud of their potatoes.
Oh, we should talk about the bat.
Kathy and our son went to the potato bowl.
Yeah. It's a nationally televised football bowl show on Bluefield. And I took my son there. It was lots of fun.
You've got the crystal ball in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Oh, no.
Here they have a potato drop.
What?
Seriously.
Wait, what's a potato drop?
Drop a potato.
How big is it?
It's a sculpture or an inflated.
Okay. That's so cool. I love that.
Smoke of Midnight, right near the State House.
That's much better than a disco ball.
Yeah. One of the things we haven't mentioned, speaking of food, is you may have read this, but there's a big Basque culture in Boise. Have you read that? There's a whole area of downtown Boise that's called the Basque neighborhood. Basque block. And there's lots of bars and restaurants. There's a bunch of history all over the place about the Basque herders and sheep, you know, the food's quite interesting, quite ethnic. We haven't delved into that. Tom has celiac disease. So when you do that kind of cooking, there's usually some problems that come up on a menu that he really can't eat anything.
I'll bet. Yeah.
But it's a fun, you know, we plan on when we have lots of visitors to go to the Basque neighborhood. They have festivals there within walking distance of our house. So we'll check it out.
Okay. It seems like you can walk to everything there.
Pretty much. Yeah. The river, we can walk to Boise State.
Wow.
Foodie wise, there's a food truck culture. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays in the summer, and it started already. There's a little corner of a park on the Green Belt where they have food trucks and live music starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
we love food trucks.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. So I have basically two questions left. And one is Boise or Idaho environmentally conscious? I mean, is there like a big recycling efforts, you know, compost? Yeah. Okay.
Boise, definitely. Even more so than the community we came out of in the Boston area, I find. Really earthy, crunchy people, very concerned about the environment, very clean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in terms of like your trash disposal, the city has made it available so that you can easily bring out everything. And
yeah, we pay for it. There's an additional cost for our trash pickup. But it's all separated out.
The yard waste.
Yard waste.
Recyclables
and trash.
And regular trash.
And then glass goes free to separate areas that we have to drive it to. Or you can rent a glass pickup and pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And compost as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very environmentally conscious.
And you mentioned the geothermal heating in the State House. There's also a street in Boise called Warm Springs that has really lovely houses on another tree-lined street. And a lot of those houses are actually heated geothermically as well. I assume that the street's named Warm Springs because there's a...
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then the Boise River is dammed up east of the city. And there's a big recreation area there on top of the dam, but they obviously generate a fair amount of hydroelectric from that.
So are the heating bills lower as a result, you think?
We have gas heat in this house. We haven't gotten a feel for it yet.
Yeah. Okay.
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 We had a few months. We weren't paying our utilities and our rentals. The people we've met seem to think it's relatively affordable here.
Okay.
But I can't really speak to it. I mean,
I haven't seen anything that gives me concern.
Yeah. The one thing I would point out is because of the heat in the summer, you really can't buy a house here without air conditioning.
Okay. Yeah.
All the houses have it. Whereas people tell me that they used to live in Seattle. Now that it's getting warmer and warmer, no houses were built with central air.
Right.
And pretty much any old house you buy, you're retrofitting back. Every single house on the market in Boise has air conditioning.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
It sounds like you absolutely love it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, on your faces. Yeah.
I mean, I wish I had my peeps here. My it's been really fun exploring. And, you know, I left a big community of friends and some family back east. But I think it's been worth it. I really have enjoyed getting here, and I'm liking every day.
I'm getting the feel that when I look at the two of you, that you can breathe, right? There's so much fresh air.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather's just fantastic. This is the first overcast day in probably the past 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Big blue sky all the time. It's just fantastic. And I think the air is a lot cleaner than down in Salt Lake. You know, they've been some issues with the air there. In the winter, there can be what they call an inversion, where kind of the clouds collect above the city.
Yeah.
And it's kind of be gray for a while because of that. But if you go up to Bogus Basin, it's blue sky and you're looking down on the clouds over the top.
Wow.
It's already not getting dark until after 9:15.
Really? Yeah. That's nice. That's really nice. Get to enjoy the sun.
Long days here.
All right. Well, I have to tell you, this has been really wonderful. I think we did Boise a very fair review, and we'd like the two of you to offer any advice, words of wisdom to our listeners in terms of your move and your what you've learned and things that you could share with us, some of your lessons.
Well, I guess I'll start.
You can start, yeah.
I think one of the things that gave us the confidence to move here is the exploration that we did of other areas, and the fact that we were able to spend extended period of time here before finally committing to the move. And I think it's important to be that thoughtful about a big move like this. For us, it was 2/3, 3/4 of the way across the country. So
yeah,
that exacerbated the need to really make sure you do your due diligence.
And I would just say, don't wait. I didn't want to wait till I was older and more infirmed of something that made it hard to explore. I knew I was, when the time was right, I wanted to not be working every day and be able to enjoy everything. You know, we worked really hard for a long period of time, and it was time to do this. So I wanted to do it right away and not spend a decade trying to figure out how to do it. So
that's great advice.
Put our foot on the gas pedal and did it.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a great episode. I've always talked about moving to the Pacific Northwest, Oregon. Boise sounds incredible.
It's great. Come visit us. You're more than welcome.
Thank you. All right, guys. This has been a wonderful call, and really nice meeting you. And this was a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Meet you too.
Pleasure speaking with you.
Great. Talk soon.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you know someone who's relocated for retirement and wishes to share their story with us, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is gg@retirethere.com. Our website is retirethere.com, and you may follow us on Twitter @retirethere_. Now, if you've liked our show, please subscribe and rate it in Apple Podcasts. In the meantime, be well.